This podcast replay is brought to you by Sloman's Home Security. The first 40 Big O listeners right now, dial 1-800-ALARM-ME. We'll get this limited time offer, a free doorbell camera that connects directly to your smartphone with installation of your Sloman's Shield. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. All righty, there he is, the man with the edge. I was just
Because
last night, I don't know if you're an NBA guy, but we were watching Jimmy Butler, and that is a man that plays with an edge every single night. And on the flip side, you know, we're the only city in the country right now with an NBA and an NHL team in the playoffs. And so, and they're both playing on the same night. And then we're watching our top two hockey guys in Barkov and Huberto just still not impose their will. You know what I mean? And it's, that's the kind of stuff you cover every day, man. We find out who has the edge and who doesn't.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a big basketball guy. I have been watching a little, I would say, but not a lot. I'm a big baseball guy, so I was watching the Mets split yesterday, which was a fine result.
Well, they're imposing their will in that division right now, so
yeah. They sure are. But it is interesting though. Like on the same topic of what you're talking about, like you do learn, you know, an exponential amount about players when they get in the playoffs. Like there's plenty who, you know, excel in the regular season and are totally fine and pretty good players. And you get to the playoffs and either they are rock stars, like greats and become greats in the playoffs, or they don't. And you can tell really quickly which one is which. And that stuff seems to stick with you throughout your career. And a lot of times it doesn't change. But it is interesting how when the, you know, competition ramps up, you do probably get a little more info about some of these guys than you do beforehand.
Now, this is a good segue for us because yesterday, and first of all, I don't know where you stand on the whole Tua thing, whether you think he can play or not. For me, Ian, I've never wavered on it. I know he can play. I know he can ball out in this league. I know the way I've looked at it was he's had no help on the offensive side. Coaching, talent, structure, play calling, play design, nothing has supported him compared to what he had in Alabama. And also, I know coming off that hip injury, it takes a certain amount of time to truly get healthy. And I think yesterday, you know, the last couple of days, people have gotten to see now Tua, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute, he looks like a different player. He looks better now. He looks more athletic. There's more zip on the ball. Well, time has come now that he has had time to heal. Yeah. He has, I believe, real coaching now. I believe the front office has been now, you know, they haven't had any kind of roadblocks in front of them to really design what they want on offense. And now you're watching it. And I think it's going to all come together now. And I think I watched this kid in Alabama. He's got the edge. He comes off the bench and led his team to a national championship. This is and he showed me toughness coming back from all these injuries and a lack of fear being in all these situations. So I'm just wondering, what are you envisioning for Tua now, or are you one of the doubters that think that athletically he doesn't have what it takes to succeed at this level?
No, I mean I would say I still have some questions. I think athletically he's fine, arm strength he's fine. A lot of the boxes he checks and sort of just cross them off, check. You know, I think he's got the tools certainly enough to be a really good quarterback. The question is he going to be the franchise guy where you say, we are not trying to replace him? And we're going to find out, because this year he's got more tools than he has ever had. And we're going to know. I mean, he's got, I think, a really good coach, someone who knows offensive schemes in a way that maybe wasn't the case in previous years. So we're going to get the best example, sample size, everything of Tua this year, assuming he stays healthy. And I do agree that this is probably as healthy as he has been. And there's, after this year, there's going to be no more questions. He'll either do it or he won't.
Right.
I think he's got a chance to. I think he's in a good system. This is his best opportunity. I'm just not there yet to say he's definitely the franchise quarterback. Hey, since I'm on my phone, I need to tweet something. I'll be right back. I don't know if I'll disconnect or not, but I'll be right back.
Go ahead. Don't worry about it. All right. So obviously he's got to break some news, right? So you know what we'll do is, let's do this. Let's have some fun. You know, while he's doing this, right? So he's got to tweet something, right? So let's bring up Twitter and let's bring up Rap Sheet, right? And then what we'll do is we shall wait now for his new one, because his last tweet was the Jags hired former 49ers executive Ethan Waugh as their new assistant general manager under Trent Baalke, right? So now that he's got to, like, you know, tweet out something, let's see what he tweets out. That is awesome. So they put J.C. Treader to Miami. Well, I think he would have told us, right? He probably would have told us, like, right off the bat. I would be – let me tell you something. I've known Ian for, I don't know, nearly 20 years. So if he breaks the J.C. Treader story on Twitter and did not tell us that he was signing with Miami before he tweets it out, I would be kind of disappointed. I got to tell you. I would be although maybe his contract also, you know, he has to, like, whenever he says anything, has to be on NFL Network air or something. I don't know. Maybe he has a contractual thing, but I'm still going to take it as a little bit of a disappointment if he has to, you know, tweet out something like J.C. Treader to Miami, but he was on with the Miami people and not telling the Miami people. So we will await Rap Sheet's tweet. So far, I have not seen anything yet. Okay, so far, his last tweet is still the Jags. By the way, there we go. The Bengals have agreed to terms with first-round pick and Michigan DB Daxton Hill. Sources say he'll sign today. Another first-rounder in the books. There we go. So he tweets it out.
Sorry about that. It was good, the tweet was not going through, so I had to disconnect in case there was some sort of bandwidth issue. But anyway, now let's get back to the Dolphins.
Brother, you need a second phone now. That's the trick now. You got to have a second phone so you can do these things and then tweet out at the same time. That's it. You know, that's where you're at, bro. The NFL Network's got to spend a couple extra bucks there on an extra phone, bro. That's
it. No, it's not. It's not the phone. It's the
I'm
about to go play golf actually today. I have a golf match, believe it or not. So
nice.
Yeah, this is how I'm getting mentally prepared talking to you.
Okay.
I got 36 minutes till tee off time.
I like it. All right. How about Brady, by the way? Going to do that roast. I mean, I love this Brady. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, he's been a terror for us Dolphin fans. But he is a treasure for all football fans, and I know he's the executive producer of this whole thing on Netflix and all that. But I'm so grateful he got away from Belichick for a short time here, so we could actually see this side of Brady actually, and it's actually fun to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I it is interesting, and it is also, like, as he, you know, rarely do you see professional athletes as they are playing kind of expand their media repertoire. Usually it's after they are gone. Brady's a little different. He's obviously older. He's had more opportunities. He doesn't sort of need that singular focus anymore, I would say. But his celebrity has only grown as he's played and continued to do these media things, which is all fine. I like getting to know Brady. Like, I think he's probably one of those guys where the more you know, the more interesting he gets, whereas, like, we thought he was kind of bland in New England. I don't love roasts, though. I think they're kind of stupid in general. I don't like when you sit around and make fun of someone. I feel awkward. So I will probably not watch it, but I do salute Brady on another, you know, soon-to-be successful media opportunity.
You and I are different on that one. I love roasts. I think they're funny.
I
think
it.
People are allowed.
Fun of someone. That's not great.
Yeah, I think I make fun of myself. So, I mean, it's all good, man. It's all good. The Drew Brees stuff. He was just messing with people, right? Knowing Drew Brees, he's smarter than that. We kind of saw his, you know, father time caught up, dude, unfortunately. You know,
yeah.
I watched Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali and you know, guys hang on way too long, and it's just not worth it at times. And, you know, we watch Marino with the bone spurs in the arm and all that kind of stuff. I guess he was just having fun with people. But what is his next step? Well, was it Was he not good enough as a broadcaster or something? Because I thought he did a decent job.
Yeah, he was just okay. I didn't love him. But, you know, the problem is, like, he was such a great quarterback that you assume these guys are going to be great at everything and hold him to a higher standard. If he was just some random dude, he would have been totally fine in this broadcast spot. But because he was Drew Brees, everyone expected more. And you're like, oh, like, this is all we're getting? So I think, you know, I think it's a solid decision. I think he'll find – if he wants to do games, he can probably do them somewhere else, maybe Fox, maybe CBS. We'll see. I think he was just annoyed that it got leaked. You know, when he was a player, I think he was involved in a lot of the leaking. He was sort of involved with his own narrative. This case, he was not. You know, when we're talking about him breaking 11 ribs, he's the one putting it out. This was the opposite of that. So I think he was just pissed, got something out there to kind of get the conversation turned the other way. And I think savvy-wise, media-wise, it was a totally fine and probably smart move.
Yeah, yeah. If you want him to be a guy with an edge on the broadcast, yeah, that's not going to happen. That wasn't expected, I don't think. Will Tom Brady be critical? Because that's kind of what people are looking for. They're looking for insight, going, okay, well what did you have done? You're the great quarterback. He failed. So where did that guy fail? Tell us. And that's where, are you willing to cross that line and piss off some of your fellow, you know, coworkers or whatever?
Yeah, and we're going to find out. My guess is he probably will toe the line pretty good. You know, Romo does a good job, and he gets into it. Like, once, I think what happens when you're broadcasting is, first you're kind of careful and you want to make sure you're saying what you're supposed to say, and then you're watching a game. And when you're watching a game, I've watched games, I'm sure you have, with pro players or ex-pro players or really accomplished guys, they really get into the analysis, but they're not sort of like analyzing. They're just talking about what's going on, and they sometimes criticize. My guess is that Brady falls into that at some point, where he's just watching, gets all excited and goes, why is he calling this player? In the red zone, you got to do that. Like, I think he is going to be animated and good. I think kind of Romo-esque, where you're going to feel like you're watching a game on the couch with him, where he's just really into it. And if you're signing Tom Brady, that is what you want. You want us to be on the couch with Brady while he's watching a game.
All right, the Sloman's look around the NFL. Don't forget, reach out 1-800-ALARM-ME, and the first 40 Big O listeners, you get a free doorbell camera. 1-800-ALARM-ME. All right, here comes the two toughest questions of the segment. One, your former beat. So Jerry Jones was bragging that maybe he could sell his team for $10 billion. The question I would have, Ian Rappaport, is how many Cowboy fans by this time are hoping that Jerry Jones actually sells? Because while he brings a lot of attention, a lot of fanfare and all that, the results are just not there ever since the Jimmy Johnson days. So how many in the Cowboy Nation might be ready for Jerry Jones to maybe turn the chapter of the Cowboys over to somebody else?
They shouldn't be. And if they do, I think they don't have a good understanding of where things are. I mean, the Cowboys are now run by Stephen Jones and Will McClay. Jerry Jones is obviously involved, but those guys are making the football decisions. They have been an incredibly well-run organization for the last several years. You know, last year they lost early in the playoffs. Okay, definitely get it. They are a good team. They are a really good team. And I think they are a team that is actually getting better. The pick of Micah Parsons, I think, was a really good one. Obviously, even though no one saw it coming this year, we'll see. You know, the developmental tackle who's really, really, really talented, we'll see. Maybe they got a great player. They have good depth. They don't overspend free agency. They make smart business decisions. I understood why Jerry Jones said that. The higher he puts the price on the Cowboys, the higher he puts the price on the Broncos, who are trying to be sold now. I get it.
Right. It gets all of us talking too, which is smart on his part too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But there are people that will tell you, and I'm one of them, it doesn't help to have a press conference after your coach outside the locker room. Jerry Jones is a guy that constantly undercuts his head coach, whoever it is, because in the end, every player knows that coach is not in charge. Jerry is. And so it kind of makes it a little bit of a dog and pony show when they still allow Jerry to do the Jerry type things. And it just doesn't put ever your head coach in a real, like Pat Riley We know he's the godfather here, Ian. I know you said you don't follow basketball, but dude, he disappears. Spo is the voice. Spo answers to everything. Everybody has to go to Spo.
Yeah.
Riley had his time in the sun. He understands that he has to be away in order to allow Spo to grow and become what he's become, by the way, which is a top 15 coach of all time. Thanks to Riley allowing him to grow. Does Jerry Jones allow his coaches to grow?
Coaches, maybe not as much as, you know, executives and personnel people, but it is what it is. And when it's with the Cowboys, you get all of it. And I think coaches know what they're signing up for. Jason Garrett did not get enough credit for deflecting and nodding and smiling and dealing with all of that circus. I think he was the perfect coach for the Cowboys. It's too bad they weren't successful enough and sort of his offense got stale because mentality wise, he was the perfect coach. I think Mike McCarthy, you know, is definitely could be what the Cowboys ask for. We'll see this year. It's obviously a big year for him though.
I'm with you there. All right. Last question. Deshaun Watson's talking with the NFL now. And we see, you know, obviously the young lady that came out with her statement about, you know, crying, and he sent the text after to apologize. And apparently he exposed himself and touched her with his private and all that kind of stuff. What are we doing here, bro? Is a suspension coming for this guy? Because, I mean, I know we're into the he said, she said stuff, and we want to get into technicalities, but there are issues here, bro. There are disturbing issues here. How does the NFL handle all of this? Because then the stories are coming out that the gambling organizations want to know whether he's playing or not. And it's kind of sad that that's really the priorities when clearly some disturbing stuff was going on behind the scenes. So how are the NFL? Oh, did we lose him now? All right. We lost him. We lost him with the toughest question. Let me see if we're getting him back because we lost him. Did he have to do another text? Because he had to go break a story during the first part of the segment. So I don't know if we lost him or not. Let me see. Let's see if he pops back because I know we've got Inside the Paint coming up right now. So I know I've got to throw it to that any moment now. The boys are waiting. We're going to get them now. All right, let's do this. We're up against the clock. All right, let's do this. Let's take the break. That's our Sloman's look around the NFL. I'll get Ian next week on that one. I will, and I'll get him right from the get-go. All right, so just in case if he dodged me on that, which I know he didn't. He probably, knowing him, he had to freaking break something else. Anyway.
There was a tweet that just went out from Rappaport.
There's another tweet? There he is. What story did you break now, bro? What'd you go break?
James Bradbury to the Eagles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Bradbury to the Eagles.
All right.
Sorry about that. Breaking news stories mid-segment. How about that?
There you go. Two breaking stories in the middle of the segment. All right. So what are they doing in the NFL, dude? Obviously, something disturbing happened between Watson and Solis.
Yeah.
The woman was crying. He apologized. There's twisted stuff behind all of this. And I know we try to hide behind the whole thing of the he said, she said, but how is the NFL going to handle this? And are they really going to let this just slide by where he's not going to feel a real punishment or the Browns here to start the season?
I think we'll get news before the season. I think we'll get news potentially before the summer. It's going to be really interesting to see what it is. I honestly don't know. If he's suspended, it ramps up the intrigue, though, because then does Baker Mayfield stay? Is he either started for the first six games or eight games or four games? Maybe. Is that better for Baker? I mean, so there's a lot of intrigue there. I would say the fact that there's no criminal charges is important. But it's not the only thing we saw with Zeke Elliott where the league made a decision based on what was going on in a civil suit, not criminal. So we will see. I think a suspension is possible. And he's been cooperative, which is good. But in the end, you know, only Roger Goodell and only the NFL officials know which way it's headed.
All right, let's see what happens. Follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. We'll start a GoFundMe page to get him that second phone so he can break stories on that second phone. You can catch him next week right here at 10:10 Eastern and our Sloman's look around the NFL. Ian, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks,
get him
man.
Straight.
All right, take care.
You got it, baby. There you go. Ian Rappaport, our Sloman's look around the NFL.